Welcome back, everyone. Glad to have all of you listening in today, and I hope that we have a very diverse audience. I think we do in our advanced class. I know that we have a diverse group of teachers, one woman, a couple of men, Canadians, Americans. Hey, this is diversity. How are you today, Simon?
I'm feeling very diverse today.
That's good. I hope you're going to be transparent.
I'm hoping to be transparent and to change the status quo.
Oh, my goodness.
Wow.
That's quite an order. What
all
about
words
you,
from yesterday.
Josh, I'm not sure he's going to be able to change the status quo of everything, do you think?
It's challenging to change the status quo, right? Because people are used to doing things a certain way,
mm-hmm.
and change is difficult. But we met a woman yesterday, Lisa Lee, who's in charge of diversity at a tech company. It's not a startup. They've been around for a while, called Pandora.
She sounds like a pretty powerful woman for 30 years old. She's been on all kinds of committees to change people's lives and help people, hasn't she?
She is an activist, for sure. And a lot of these millennials, these young adults, they're out for change. They work hard. They're not just, you know, kicking back.
They don't want to just get the salary. They want to change things.
That's right. She's worked on civil rights and body image and was a publisher of a magazine while she worked at Facebook. Makes me feel like an underachiever, Simon.
Yeah, you are an underachiever, Josh. Don't worry about it, though.
Well, I don't know, Josh. You've had several big companies yourself, so I think you're okay on that. And, of course, now you're with the Advanced Studio Classroom. You know, that's a pretty important job, isn't it?
It is. We enjoy teaching it.
But now we're on page 35, and we're going to talk about this. Now, Pandora, as we found out yesterday, is a music streaming company in the United States. And what does it actually do? I think you learned that yesterday, Simon.
Well, yesterday we actually drew a comparison to the app KKBOX here in Asia. Basically, it's a subscription service if you don't want any ads, and it lets you listen to music off the internet for free. If you don't want to pay for it, you can do that too, but you have a couple of ads per hour, and it basically gives you access to all kinds of different music.
Yeah, but I listen to TuneIn Radio, and you know, TuneIn Radio, I can hear music from all over the world free.
TuneIn is great.
Have you ever tried TuneIn?
I have. I enjoy it.
Is that
a stream? But it's
a
radio station.
Yeah.
This is a personal, customized music experience.
It's kind of like a music library.
Yeah.
Like you have CDs at home. Instead of having these CDs, you just put all this stuff on there and you could listen to it without going and putting a CD in.
Well, this one was, the idea was it learned what you sort of liked and then added new music that was the same sort of type, that was the kind of music you probably would like.
And that's what I love about it. It does teach you. It kind of turns you on to bands and artists you'd never heard before.
And it kind of builds you up. A personal radio station, I suppose, is the idea.
But some of the radio stations do that, too. I kind of like radio stations. They got a lot of variety.
It's true.
And you get the weather report in between. You know, it's kind of fun. But it's nice to listen to different things, isn't it?
Yep, we love music. It's a joy of our life.
Yes, and this one is a company in Silicon Valley, and she joined that company. And what was her job there?
Well, she's the diversity manager, or the manager of the diversity program. And so I imagine she works in the human resources department.
I think part
of that department. Mm-hmm. She's running this program that is seeking to improve the diversity among Pandora employees. And I gather from yesterday that that is largely the result of Pandora's releasing statistics on its diversity and deciding that they wanted to, we used the term yesterday, change the status quo, change the way things were, and introduce more diversity into the company.
Well, I think we're going to find out today that she's probably really done something like that. Isn't that true?
Yeah, we're going to learn today a little bit more about what that job entails. Yesterday, it was a little more abstract about what her feelings were before she took the job. She did this at Facebook, we learned, and Facebook, I think, has a reputation of focusing on diversity more so than Google or Apple. And I think diversity, when I hear the term, I think not just female and male, but also ethnicity, right? In terms of Hispanics or blacks. But it sounded like yesterday she's actually maybe focused mostly on retaining women.
Right. And did it say when she joined? It didn't say when she joined the company, did it?
I think she's been there about a year.
Okay.
At the time.
But evidently done a good job because she's already increased the women, it sounds like. Let's look and see what she did today. Let's look at the next page, page 35. And Josh, are you going to read that for us?
I certainly will, where you see the 22. Nearly half of Pandora employees are women, a far better gender balance than most tech companies have achieved. How has Pandora pulled that off? I have some theories. Since I've only been here for a little less than a year, I'm not taking any credit for that. The company itself was founded by musicians, so these ideas of having to be flexible and also knowing that we all play different roles outside of work are very embedded into the culture. Whether you're leaving work to play in a band or to take care of your kids or your parents, people respect that. I have colleagues, including our founder, who will talk about their children and their family in a way that is absolutely unapologetic.
Well, half of the Pandora employees are women. And that's not in a way surprising because the company has to do with music and that's sort of a general thing. It's not like technology in that sense, really.
Right. And I think they do a lot of ad sales. So there's a lot of people who are out introducing Pandora to companies so that they can buy advertising. But I'm sure they have lots of engineers on staff, too.
But there's a lot of musicians, too, in the company.
Yes, lots of people creating the algorithms for the music.
But either way, having almost half of your employees be women is a far better gender balance than most tech companies have. And so the idea there is that it's much more evenly divided in the way that society is sort of evenly divided.
Almost well, how did she
women.
Pull that off? How did she manage to do that? To pull something off means I succeeded. I managed to do it. How did she do it?
Yeah, something that's difficult or almost maybe like a feat in itself. Wow, how did you pull that off, Simon?
I'm going to answer the same way she did. She says, actually, she has some theories about how Pandora has pulled it off, but she says since she's only been there for a little less than a year, she's not taking any credit for that, which means she really doesn't think it's because of anything she's done that they have this diversity between men and women.
Well, that's very humble, isn't it, right? But you know, it says here that the company itself was started or founded by musicians. So it wasn't started by high-tech people.
No.
It was musicians that got together and thought, well, people want to listen to our music and we'll make it arranged so they can listen to what they want. So it was kind of a different kind of company than regular tech companies, don't you think?
That's right. It wasn't just a...
The technology
the
came later.
Right. Right, who founded it.
That's right. And I guess the thing she goes on to focus on here is this idea of flexibility in the workplace. She says specifically that because the company was founded by musicians, these ideas of having flexibility... And understanding that we all play different roles, both inside and out of work, are very important and central. They actually say embedded into the culture, which means sort of built into a very important part of the company's culture.
Yeah, because working as a musician, your life is unpredictable.
Right.
Right? You've got
practices.
You don't
have a steady job unless you go different places. Your band will play in different places. Mm. Some just play in a certain club all the time, but others go around and have concerts. And so they have to leave to play in a band, or you take care of your kids or your parents because you don't have regular office hours sometimes, right?
That's right. So that's the whole mindset, the culture, is built differently than other tech companies.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what she said about our founder, though. He says he'll talk about their children and their family in a way that is absolutely unapologetic. I'm not really sure what that means.
Well, I think it's just saying that he is family first, that he is not someone who, you know, puts the family duties, you know, second or third on the list after being founder or CEO of the company.
Yeah, I agree. I think the idea is that he is prioritized family. So, for example, if he has a child who has like a baseball game, he leaves work to go to the baseball game and he doesn't apologize for having left work. He feels that as long as he's got his work done, it's important to play good role as a father in his family.
Yeah, oftentimes in American tech companies, you know, it's looked down upon that you have these family obligations and, you know, you need to be at work all the time and mm-hmm. stay late and eat pizza and we're all here living this because it's yeah. so important. Mm-hmm. But some people feel differently.
Mm-hmm.
Like the Pandora founders.
Yeah.
They're all musicians, see. But I think people that are in production things, like whether it's plays and artists and those kind of people, they do have a different viewpoint because their schedules are different.
Mm-hmm.
They're not like, for instance, if you work in a bank and you're not there, you're a bank teller, then somebody has to take your place. It's not easy to do that.
Mm-hmm.
But if you're a musician and you don't have a jig that night, anything you have to do, then mm-hmm. you can do it. So I think the nature of the work makes it easier for this kind of company than it would a restaurant or a bank or something else. So I think we have to realize that too.
That's true.
This mm-hmm. kind of a company can handle that because their schedules are more flexible.
Right. It's not going to work for everyone.
Right. And I think that's basically why she's saying half of their employees or almost half of their employees are women. Because as we know, in North America, as well as in other places around the world, women often take a lot of the workload at home and with, you know, taking care of children and things like that.
Children are sick or something like that.
That's right. And so having this added flexibility in the workplace really makes Pandora female-friendly work environment, I suppose.
And I think that's good, but I don't think it would probably work for all kinds of companies. If you have a service company where you need to be on duty, policemen can't do that, and school teachers. I mean, it really depends on your company.
And it's a challenge for tech companies, too. I had a lot of employees at my previous tech company that wanted more flexible hours to work from home half days or to, you know, work from home several days a week. And it just didn't work. We needed to be together. We needed to have meetings where we could see each other face to face. And I felt bad that, yes, I wanted, you know, everyone to have a work-life balance, but I also needed you in the office.
Right. So it depends on the company. But, you know, at Studio Classroom, sometimes the teachers say, I have to prepare at home, and we let them prepare at home. Or they have to do something else as long as they're not on TV. So we have that flexibility here.
We do.
But
thank
you can't always do that.
It's true.
You know, if you have to be on duty and you're not there and somebody isn't there to open the doors, then you have a problem.
And remember, Lisa Lee is an artist in her background, right? So she probably mm-hmm. really fits
she likes
in
that, right?
Yeah, to that creative culture.
So I would say more artistic or things where performing things, they could handle this more than a regular company that has to have you on duty. Don't you think so?
I agree.
Let's find out how she manages to do this. Let's read the next question and answer and finish this column.
How do you divvy up your time? What kinds of programs have you found to have a real impact? I spend about 60% of my time working directly with our recruiting team because we are in the midst of heavy hiring. We formed relationships with historically black colleges and universities. We've also partnered with a number of organizations that are specifically developing students for the job market and also ensuring that they are getting into really great schools.
So they want to know more about her job because it's a different kind of a job. The reporter is asking her this. You say, well, how do you divide your time? Divvy up is just, in a sense, it's kind of a slang word, I think. It just means to divide.
Mm-hmm.
How do you divide
up a pie
your time?
Or split mm-hmm. up,
divvy.
You know, some responsibilities. Mm-hmm. Let's divvy up these chores.
But it's not really actually the kind of words you need to put in your vocabulary, but you need to know what it means. How do you divvy it up? How do you divide your time? And then what kind of programs do you have that have results? To make a real impact would mean something that has results.
That's right. And Lisa answers the first question first, or the first part of that question. She says she spends about 60% of her time working directly with the recruiting team. And so that basically means she spends about 60% of her time working with the people who are finding and hiring new employees.
Mm-hmm.
And remember, they're doing a pretty good job before she got there.
That's right.
Hiring nearly half women, but she's now adding in that area of diversity specifically.
Well, line 21 says that they're in the midst of heavy hiring, which means their business is good, because if your business is not good, you won't be hiring.
That's right? True, but turnover could be high, too.
Well, that's true.
People
heavy hiring, yeah.
Heading off to other places.
Right?
But,
mm-hmm.
Yeah, heavy, uh-huh. Meaning a large amount.
Yeah. But for the company, she tries to make relationships with different kinds of schools. There's Chinese schools and Japanese schools and schools that have more black students. And she tries to get onto this, diversify with these different groups and get in with them. I wonder if she gets in with any Mexican schools. A lot of Mexicans down there do.
There are, that's right.
Yeah.
But this group, HBCUs, we call them, historically black colleges and universities, and they're in the south of the United States primarily.
And there's not that many anymore, I don't think.
They're not, no. Howard and Furman and...
There's a few, yeah.
I could be wrong, but I assume they sort of started during segregation, the time when people couldn't study together, people mm-hmm. from different
groups. I'm not sure how they did it. They might have done it because some people wanted to be sure that they had enough opportunities. Who knows? You know, the founder might have done that too. That's a special thing. But the point is that there are Chinese schools and Japanese schools and different kinds, too. But
and you don't have to be black to attend these schools.
No.
They have other students.
That's why they're historically black.
Yeah.
At one point, maybe
they were started
black
that
students.
Way or something, yeah. But anyway, they formed relationships with them, and they partner with different organizations, which would develop students for the job market. So I think these organizations would help some of these people who might feel, because they're Mexican or something else, that they have a problem getting a job. Maybe she works with people like that. What do you think?
Yeah, I think there are lots of organizations that are reaching out to lower income and minority students to show them where job opportunities are that they might not have considered in the past.
So mm-hmm. that's part of her job. That's she partners and she works on developing students for the job market. So maybe they go to the schools and say, when you graduate, maybe you'd like to work here. Mm-hmm. I don't know what they do.
Intern programs, outreaches, mm-hmm. mentorships.
Yeah.
There is a lot of the tech companies are pretty forward thinking in terms of thinking about their employee of the future
mm-hmm.
and making sure they're connecting with them early.
They want to get the good ones that are really sharp and smart, and so they want to get them into their company, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And the schools are doing it, too. I mean, Harvard and the best Ivy League schools are really focused on diversity. I mean, I've heard they're even limiting how many students they're taking from Taiwan.
Is that right?
Yeah, making it pretty challenging for the smart students here.
Because they want to have a diversity, right?
Mm-hmm.
So that's kind of a big thing going on right now, in case we didn't hear much about it. But we still have one more question here. Let's take the last one.
You worked with a budget of $75,000 last year. This year, you're working with triple that. How will you deploy these added resources? To be completely honest, I had a little bit more than $75,000. But for next year, the expanded budget means a lot. We are able to go a lot deeper with some of the partnerships we have. We are able to hire extra interns to help us manage some of the workload. We can go out to more conferences and more schools. One of the main things I've been trying to get across is that diversity is not just going to happen on its own with good intentions.
Well, this is a different kind of article, but I was very amazed when I got to this part of it where it said that she had a budget a little bit more than $75,000. That sounds like kind of a big budget, but now they're going to have an expanded budget, even more than that. So, wow, they're really working on getting more people in, aren't they?
Yeah, I was trying to think, what was she doing with this money? I mean, obviously she was traveling to fairs and just visit students. And I imagine they would do some advertising to
promote
themselves.
Well, I wonder if they, their interns and stuff, whether they paid them out of that or something. I don't
know. That could be too.
Yeah. Well, even if you're not paying interns, there's often intern-related costs, right? And different things like that. And so I imagine she was mostly spending it on promotion. It's very interesting, though, in the last line of that question section, it uses an interesting word. It says, how will you deploy these added resources? And deploying resources, of course, just means using resources. So how are you going to use this money?
That's pretty interesting. All right.
Yeah, it's a decent-sized budget. Wow.
It is. I'm yeah. sure that her company wants to know, too. How is she going to use them?
Well, they're public, so they'll disclose it in some way.
It will be transparent.
But she says to be completely honest means I'm being transparent right here.
That's right.
So she says that, well, she said, you know, for the next year, this means a lot to her because they're going to be able to go a lot deeper with some of the partnerships we have. Now, I'm not sure why that costs money. What does she say about that?
Well, yeah, she says they'll be able to
hire
some extra interns, so that will help them manage the workload. So that doesn't mean people, diverse people. It just means actually people coming to work in the HR department.
Yeah, but they have to pay them evidently. So some interns are paid and some aren't. Mm-hmm. A lot of companies now do hire interns, and it's almost everybody that's going to some university gets an intern job in the summer. Sometimes they're not paid, though, and sometimes they are.
In California, I believe you have to pay them.
Right.
A few of the tech companies recently
were sued. I don't think
they
do in Hawaii because my grandniece is there and she doesn't get paid. She works for companies and they don't pay them. They just let them work.
I think that's unfair.
Yeah, it is because they need money to eat.
Right.
It's like
slave labor.
Doris doesn't have to give it to her.
Yeah.
But, you know, it is true. The interns don't always get paid.
Well, it's kind of odd, some of these internships. I mean, a lot of them are essentially like part-time summer jobs, right?
Yeah.
Babysitting.
But, it's interesting. Like, you have students who go and get summer jobs, and some in pretty interesting places.
But those aren't the same as interns.
When you use this word intern, it often implies like unpaid sort of slave-like labor. The
but
same
you're
sort
learning
of,
how to do this.
Yeah,
kind of, yeah.
Hey, we have great interns every summer at Studio Classroom. We're
but we give them food money, though, and we give them a place to stay. And
I work my interns like slaves. I don't know about you guys, but
I was just going to say they get great experiences here. They
certainly do.
That's true,
some terrific work.
Yeah.
So if you have a young person in your life, maybe encourage them to check out the Studio Classroom internship.
But they go to more conferences and more schools and so forth. But what is the main thing that she's really trying to get across, actually?
Well, she's trying to show that it's not just going to happen on its own, that you can't just snap your fingers and get a diverse workforce. It just won't happen without some real work.
So it must be planned, right?
That's right. Good intentions aren't enough. When you have good intentions, it just means you hope that something happens. You intend to make a change in your life. And I can't just hope I'll get in shape or that my Chinese will improve. I need to work at it.
Well, I think that this girl, this Lisa Lee, does have a wide variety of experience. And we see all of the groups that she's been part of, and she worked, she's in South Africa for a while, and she's lived in different, she's been in very diverse societies, so I think she understands that, don't you think?
Yeah, and she got to Facebook very early, remember 2007, that was really early days, so she saw that company grow huge in the 7 years she was there.
Oh, that's true, yeah. So now she has this job where she's trying to pull it off. She's trying to really make it work that they have a lot of different people coming into the company of Pandora. And most of us out here haven't heard much about Pandora because, as you say, it's a music streaming company in the United States and you can't get it in Asia, right?
No. They have licensing agreements with the record companies and they pay them a very small amount of money for every song they stream and they cannot stream outside the U.S.
Okay. But they do have one out here that does that.
They do, KKBOX, and it's very popular.
Mm-hmm. Do you subscribe to that one?
Actually, you can choose to subscribe or not subscribe each month. And so,
is that right?
I have used it and then opted out of using it in the future.
I still use TuneIn Radio because I can hear any radio station, any language, Filipino, German. It's kind of fun.
And the commercials don't bother you?
TuneIn Radio? No, TuneIn Radio is great.
Have you
tried it?
I have, sure. I listen to some sporting events for there.
Spotify from time to time, and one called Groove Shark. They're all a little different, but they all basically let you listen to music for free.
Yeah, they're probably all diversifying, you know. But I think diversifying can be something we pay attention to, although I don't know I would particularly hire a diversity director, because when you want people to work in your company, you want them to be qualified, but you usually get kind of a diverse, I know we get at Studio Classroom a lot of diverse quality people from, we have a teacher from New Zealand, and we've had people from Norway, and, you know, you get a lot of diversity naturally, I think. Don't you think so, Josh?
I think you're right. We've had it here at Studio Classroom almost by accident.
Mm-hmm.
But in a company, you know, 10 times our size, they have to have a little more focused effort.
Well, and this is a very different kind of company than a lot based in Taipei, too, you know, because it works on international themes, like
true.
English. You know, we try to be a window on the world.
That's true.
So we end up with people who sort of have this shared ability to sort of use English and
right.
teach
British
English.
British English and Australian English.
Yeah,
all of it,
I right. think if you went to a lot of the offices in Taipei, though, you would find not a great deal of diversity, depending on what sort of mm. the industry is.
You find a lot of women in the workplace. That's
you might
yeah,
find
that's
a lot
true.
Of women.
Yeah, yeah. there are. Yeah. So, but I think the main thing is that we need to be aware of what a person's qualifications are and then let them know opportunities in different companies. I think that's very important, don't you?
That's true. Yeah. But I think also finding a place where a lot of different voices can be heard,
mm-hmm.
right? So it's not
and people
just
are welcome
the same.
From different, you know, kinds of society.
Exactly.
But we've learned some very good words today, and we've talked about things that are tight-knit places, and some tight-knit places you need security. If you're working in some kind of a company that deals with money, sometimes that's necessary, don't you think?
Mm-hmm.
But on the other hand, you still have to be transparent about the way you treat people. I think that's a difference.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And we also talked about public companies being forced to be transparent by their shareholders.
That's true.
And they release things called disclosures every quarter.
Mm-hmm.
And some of them, you know, might seem innocuous or harmless, but they do affect the future of the company.
Thanks for being with us, and Simon, and we're glad to have Josh with us. And all of you listening every day, we have a very diverse audience, so stay tuned every day to Advanced Class. Goodbye now.
Goodbye.